Welcome to the beginning of the school year and to, I don't know, maybe our 10th Dean's Corner. And we have a number of things that we have to go over today, so I'm going to start. Thank you all for coming up the hill. And I love these chairs. We can play bumper cars later. I want some. I really do. So, Diane, they're in. So the first thing I'd like to talk about is just, welcoming everybody at the beginning of the year. It's an exciting time. We've got lots of things going on. Thank goodness we don't have the same circumstances that we had last year. I know that there will be a number of people coming in. Just kind of let them find a spot as they roll into you and just roll back away, and we'll manage this. The first thing I wanted to talk about was, thank you very much, was a report of the 360-degree benchmark assessment survey. You know that this was of the senior administrators. And a reminder again, first I want to thank everybody who took the time to fill them out. It was a considerable investment, as all of you who filled them out know, and a considerable investment for us to digest them as well. Again, to put them in perspective, these were developmental exercises in terms of leadership development of the senior library team. And basically, the input from them goes to the individual and a trainer who is specifically trained to help individuals understand the information and to develop a program of what they want to do with that information. So I will be speaking about the information I gained from all of you for me and other people who have gone through the exercise will choose to do what they want to with it, which is part of the process. That's how it works. So I learned quite a bit from your evaluations of me. One of the things that I really learned, and this came out really loudly and clearly, is that we have a climate issue in the library, and there are some people who are feel that they have to use very strong words to get their point across, and that's information to me. And as I've told you many, many times, I can control the things I can control, and I choose to deal with the things that I can control. And when I can't control something, I'll tell you I can't do anything about it. And I cannot go back and make the past something that it wasn't. And I can't do that. I'm not a miracle worker, and it's not my job to do that. My job is to deal with everybody here going forward. So one of the things that we will do in response to this is to do an assessment, again, a very tried and true assessment that all of you know that I have a background in assessment. I believe in dealing with information. I believe in dealing with information that is very reliably put and professionally put together. There is a survey instrument that called ClimateQual and a process called ClimateQual. I've mentioned it to you before. It's run by the Association of Research Libraries, which is, again, most targeted to what we are, which is one of the large research, 123 research libraries in North America. And this will help me pinpoint what some of the issues are. I can only guess at this point. And I don't like dealing without information. And with this, we will try to develop a plan to deal with some of the climate issues that we have in the organization. But I need people, I need everybody here to approach this with goodwill, because we aren't going to heal ourselves unless we do. And I think you know that we have done many, many things in the past year that have progressed us toward that. But we will be doing that. So Lori and is on board as our assessment person. will be investigating that, and other members of the senior leadership team in the dean's office will be working to developing that. Close to that is a planning effort. Planning is huge. That came out in your evaluation of me in terms of wanting more input into planning, and also just more of a robust and discernible, I think, planning effort. And so that's high on my agenda as well. And clearly that is one of my jobs, along with Diane Cohen, who is the planning officer. Communications again came out. There is no way that anyone can communicate well enough. I mean, from the moment I got here, communications was really high on my agenda. This meeting is an example of that. But again, over and over and over again, I got information saying communicate more often, more one-on-one, more out there. Don't just stay in the dean's office. Trudge through the snow and up the hill like the rest of us. Come to our staff meetings. Get out there. And I know I need to do that, and I will. You can help me in this, because I really don't like showing up unannounced, and it's like I'm from the government and I'm here to help and I'm here to communicate. You know, that's really artificial, and it makes me feel kind of creepy. So invite me. I promise, and Bruna promises I'm going to be more strategic in getting through my coffees. I'll try very hard not to cancel them unless I absolutely have to. And then I'll reschedule them. And more formal events, I'm going to try to make it out to each library for a staff meeting. And I think I've already had to cancel one, and the people from law I apologize to. But I will be there, I promise. And finally, what came out loud, very loudly and clearly, was the need to build a team. And I think that with some of the reorganization that I'm going to show you today, that you'll see that I've been thinking about this since the day I got here, and noticing things that I just thought were anywhere from anomalies to plain weird in our organization. And I will walk through that. So part of this process, as I told you, in this developmental process, is for me to have gotten information from all of you, and then for me to say, okay, this is the information I've got. What am I going to do with it? And I'm telling you what I'm doing with it. Okay? So let me talk a little bit about organizational changes at the library. And it's not very big, is it? Okay, well, I will help us through this then. I'll be reading this to you. I guess you could all roll forward. But that might be kind of interesting. Anyway, see what I will go through it, and we will go through it as best as possible. I do need to tell you from the beginning that this really is in effect as soon as we can possibly make it, which means October the 9th. In terms of anything that has to do with MUNACA staff, because they need this sort of information in concert with the collective bargaining agreement. Yes. We'd said October the 8th, but since the 8th is Thanksgiving, I get to have two Thanksgivings. It's my Canadian Thanksgiving. We decided that we wouldn't, you know. So let me go through this really quickly. Anybody whose position has changed in here, and there, as a result of this, there will be a number of positions that we're going to be searching for. a lot, as a matter of fact, once you look at the whole list, and Isabel will go through that, as well as some of the positions that we still have open. And anybody who is doing a job right now that we will be recruiting for will keep doing that job until we find the replacement. Okay? So we aren't going to have any interims is what that means. Okay, so starting out, c'est moi. That's not changed yet anyway. Hopefully not for at least 3 years. This is develop in alumni relations. There are certain themes that you're going to see in this. One is that, and I was telling the managers this, it's really important. The ARL directors are really, the jobs have become very external. And what that means is that while I'm trying to have to worry about internal things in the library, I wake up in the middle of the night thinking that I feel guilty because I'm not doing some of the things I need to be doing. And what I need to be doing is all about resources, and that means fundraising and putting our case forward to the external world at McGill so that we can have the resources that we need to do our jobs. And I don't feel that I've been able to do that adequately. I don't think it's something that this organization is as used to as I am. But it is true, unless there's someone out there garnering resources, I get the resources and I put together a team that can run the library and then I let you guys run it. And then I tweak it when it doesn't work. That's basically my job. As I said, I'm never the only smart person in the room. I'm hardly ever the smartest person in the room, and I'm wasting all this great talent if I don't use it. So it's also important to realize that this top layer does leadership, not management. And leaders lead and managers manage, and leaders need to not be mucking in management work, and managers need to be doing their job. So those of you in management positions are going to be held accountable for doing that. So you come up here, and we have one of the other themes I've spent when I wasn't writing endless 9 reappointment letters this summer or trying to find out how the Red Path building really has been kludged together over many editions. I've been looking at organization charts of major research libraries comparable to us around the world. The great ARL institutions in Canada, in the United States, the Bodleian at Oxford, and all of them have a very small number of ADs. We will have 4. And they are, just starting here. Joseph will remain as director, senior director of collection services. We have digital initiatives as an opening. This is a new position that we will go out and we will be recruiting for. And this is basically all of public services. There are 2 extra dotted lines here to public services. Not only a full line up to this position, but a dotted line directly to me for 2 of our branches, and those are life sciences, medicine, and law. And that's one of the anomalies that I found when I came here, was I'd never been anywhere where those 2 very traditionally very special libraries don't have some direct access to the chief librarian. As a matter of fact, in the United States, law schools the dean has to, the law librarians have to, the law library has to report to the dean of the law school. Okay, so that was one of the things that I just found kind of weird. And what can I say? What's McGill without medicine? There has to be. I just have to know a little bit more about what's going on up there and develop that program and be a little bit closer to it. But I'm also not going to get in the way of this person who really needs to run the public services program. So these two positions, yes, this one, these two positions we will be recruiting and we're going to get for, and we're going to get a search firm, and we're going to make a really big effort in trying to recruit them as soon as possible. This is basically administration. There are several other things that I up here. Diane, of course, over here with this portfolio. Our assessment librarian has a dotted line to Diane and a permanent line, filled-in line to me. And this is because planning has to be informed by assessment. We simply have to be, yes. Oh, okay. This is assessment librarian, development and alumni relations. This is administrative staff, director, academic affairs. I'll get to this. Human resources. This is Isabel. This is planning and resources, senior director client services, senior director digital initiatives, senior director collection services. Okay. Obviously, assessment, everybody here knows from the moment I got here, when you looked up my vita, I care a lot about assessment, and I care a lot about making decisions through information. So that's a huge job. I talked with Lori yesterday, and she has about 3 pages of chores. She's going to be a busy girl. Archives. I have to formally welcome our archival colleagues, and many of them are here with us today, and we'll have specific introductions in the normal course of events as we normally do. But archives, as of September the 1st, reports to the Dean of the Library. So I would like to welcome, and please join me in welcoming, all of our archival colleagues. And I truly am glad that they're here. So we have archives here, and then this is a new position, but one that I've done before. And Carol has agreed that this is something that I've asked her to do, and she's agreed to take it on. There is, as all of you know, and because I keep trying to get everyone to feel sorry for me by saying that I had to write 9 reappointment letters this summer. And we have 3 people up for tenure. Unfortunately, we don't have 4, and it's all Megan's fault. But in any case, because of the life cycle of our library in terms of reinstating a tenure track status, we are anomalous in the number, demographics as far as people going through the system is huge. And we are having in many ways to create our systems and our processes from scratch. And everyone knows that we instituted a library council last year, and that in my view, library council is the body through which academic staff, the governance structure of academic staff is represented, because it is the body, by definition, of all academic staff. We have gone through a process of making sure that people understood the regulations. We've had a group of people that worked very, very hard and very successfully in rewriting guidelines, but that's only the tip of the iceberg in putting together a governance structure for academic staff that really works. And through the evaluation processes, through the number of times I've talked with individuals, it's clear that people feel that they need more help in this process, that they need to understand with one voice what interpretations of guidelines are, processes. I am used to the whole mechanism of dossier preparation, all the clerical work involved in that being done in a dean's office, so it's done the same. And so that every individual trying to put together a portfolio doesn't have to worry about, well, how many copies do I need, and do they have to be e-versions, and do they have to be print versions, and do I put them in a ring binder, or do I put them with a clip binder, or do I do blah, 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 blah. That process, which people shouldn't have to worry about, which is just staging, is something that we need to take care of in this organization so that people coming through the process can do the things that they need to do, and that's the three criterion that they need for promotion and tenure. So all of this is going to take a lot of work to create, and so a lot of that will be, Carol will be helping with. It's a, if you notice, there are, you know, if there aren't lines coming from boxes, it means that those are staff positions and not line positions. Okay? So then we get over here with, human resources, all of these boxes report directly to me, and then I've got some dotted line boxes. I'm still hoping at some point before I leave here to have a lot fewer people reporting to me directly, and that will be a measure of my success to me when I can hand over a lot of these and know that they're running themselves and they don't need the dean's office watching them as much as I'm going to need to for the next little bit. Within this structure is communications, facilities, and finances. Notice that there's a dotted line with communications to me as well. It's just such an enormous portfolio, as both Sabrina and Marika can tell you. Those are really difficult jobs, but crucial to what we do. We can't do enough of it. Client services, rare books and special collections. There's a little dotted line here with archives. It's not a reporting structure so much as there's a huge Venn diagram, particularly when you talk about papers and manuscripts, where archives and rare and special collections and manuscripts overlap one another. And so all of our great colleagues who have been working together for years will now be recognized as needing to work together in a more formal way. So this is Islamic studies, music, education, Shulik. And I'll talk a little bit about this, but this is this position we will be recruiting for ASAP. So we will have a new head of Shulik. Law, life sciences, McDonald campus, humanities and social sciences. If you look at lots of organization charts, you'll see that that access services, which is really just part of our single services unit, and the reference liaison structure oftentimes report directly to this person in a lot of ARL libraries. But given the fact that we have instituted a single service desk and we have many things to work out in a very, very close relationship between and among our great NUNACA staff, who have really pitched in and made the single service point work for the past couple of weeks, and our liaison librarians, as we try to figure out at what point people are handed off to liaison librarians because questions get more difficult and whatever, that's one of those things that I woke up a number of times thinking about this many, many times in the past year and a half. And this, I've decided that those two functions per se will report to a single person. And this is again a position that is open and vacant. It will be that we will conduct a search for. Okay, over here we've got digital initiatives, and it's the web. By the way, you've got, I haven't forgotten Chris Osler's there. You know, he's got his own little box up to life sciences, and Berks and math. I mean, okay. Digital initiatives is the web, e-scholarship, publishing, digitization, Aleph, and technical services. This is probably my single greatest failure that I didn't get enough criticism for in when you wrote my evaluation, because we've done two searches for this job and haven't found anybody. And what that means is that I'm probably, the person I want probably doesn't exist, and we're probably going to have to, I'm going to have to look at it a little bit differently. But we're going to get help in with a search firm to do a serious recruitment for it so that we can do the absolute best we can in finding the right person for that job. In the meantime, there is some assessment of the programs within digital initiatives that's going on with Amy and Ed and Diane and me, and we are, we're probably, you know, there are some things that are going to be augmented there a little bit that we simply have to do something about, because we really can't afford to wait any longer if we're going to move that, continue to have that program to at least go forward in the way that it has before with some forward momentum and not get stalled. So there'll be a little bit more information coming out about that. Collection services. We had a huge dance out in the past couple of days in telling people how all of collection services has been reorganized. And I'm not going to go through all that because we have to get through this today. But suffice it to say that that probably there are lots and lots and lots of people whose lives have changed somewhat and have different reporting structures in collection services. And several themes are paramount. The first and foremost one is that one of the things I scratched my head about when I got here, and I kept wondering if this were really true, and yeah, it was, is that we called collection services, collection development, and technical services, and it was a name and wasn't functioning that way, and our very, very huge collection development program was suffering as a result of that, and it was split up all over the place, particularly with the great expertise and history that Louis has. And we were not in, we're not at the table of several forums in which we need to be by virtue of our collections, and among them are continual representation at the Center for Research Libraries meetings, and also Big Heads of Collection Development, a group to which you are invited, which we should be invited to but haven't been, which happens at the American Library Association meetings, and we simply have to maintain all of our collection development is huge, huge. We have an enormous problem. We're adding 50, 60,000 volumes a year. We're saying that we prefer print. We're saying that we prefer electronic, but we keep buying a bunch of print and e-versions together. We've got all of the work with CRKN, which has now reached a different time in its evolution. It was the newest thing on the block in Glitzy, and now it's become, you know, everyone's, you know, adolescent who's gangly and doesn't know whether they're going to grow up to be a troublemaker or, you know, president of, prime minister of Quebec. I don't know. There's so much work to be involved with that. And quite honestly, there's a really important Francophone French need to work in this province as an insider, which I can't do, although I'm going to pass that dang French test pretty soon. And I do have, by the way, a great French tutor. So there is, I don't know, is there that one other big thing here is an emphasis upon the need to really devote the right kind of cataloging resources to the right kinds of materials and priorities. And within the past 10 years, revealing hidden collections has become a major theme and priority for research libraries. And boy, do we have a lot of hidden collections, very important ones that need to be revealed. And we need to outsource easy things and devote our considerable professional cataloging expertise, which is something that is quite impressive here, to cataloging rare and special collections. So we have brought together what I kind of think of as an original cataloging group, which will have a big focus on rare and special collections. And we'll also, of course, be having to look at how we involve our archives colleagues in this as well. Is there anything that else I should say about that? That's, yes?
I think somewhere along the way I missed something. What happened to Hitchville?
Thank you. Yeah. Diane will be talking about that. But yes, the second library to have morphed into a different life since I have been here is the Hitchville Geography Library. And that those collections and programs and people have been morphed into Hustle. Okay?
Yeah,
there'll be more.
You might add would be about our ebooks, how we want to make sure that they
catalog. Yes. Okay. Another big theme. We have somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 million ebooks that haven't been cataloged. You know, when you think that we have 7 million and we've existed since 1820, that's a lot of books. Fortunately, most of them can be tape-loaded. The cataloging can be bought, and you load it. And I will never forget that my equivalent of Chris Oliver at Texas A&M looked at a bunch of Springer records that I said, we will load no matter what. And she said, you're talking about those schlock records, Colleen? And I said, I'm talking about those schlock records. So I do know that they are not that. A lot of our tape-loaded cataloging gets better over time, but I firmly believe that any access, if it's just a title, is better than buying resources that you pay for on a subscription basis every year and you don't provide access to them at all. And so we have to do something in terms of really getting as much access to our e-resources, and we've organized a lot of our organization within collection services to do this as quickly as possible, as well as we can, given the exigencies and the realities of today, knowing that we can improve upon these things as we go along because, you know, those records aren't going to spring legs and walk up and go away, kind of like dirty dishes. Okay? They'll always there to fix and get better over time. Okay. Yes?
For people saying they cannot
see it,
we're going to be saving it on the U drive.
Yes. Right. It'll be saved on the U drive under organization. Yes. By the way, my name does not have an E on it. I am not a cook with an E. I'm a plain old cook. So is my father. Okay. I will stop here and take questions about any of this from near or far. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that now, because of the election, it seems that we're not going to get the increase that we were expecting, $600 per year. Are you not worried about you're going to take some budget cuts, especially in this particular year, because we anticipated an increase in tuition?
No, not at all worried. Because I'm very careful to maintain, to stay within a budget. I always do. We just had a meeting this morning to make sure that there's this huge crazy machine going on here where, you know, we've got people who are retiring and then we have to pay them out with their retirement programs for a while, and then their money comes free and we can take that money and we can either hire for the position that we thought that they vacated, or we can use that money to create another position that we feel that we need. And you see a lot of that happening within this chart. And particularly if every one of these were broken out and you saw all the individual positions within it. We are well within our budget. We don't have to worry about it. And I can tell you that that people owe a lot to Tony Massey, and sometimes his feelings get hurt that people don't, from the libraries, don't really understand it. But while every other faculty has taken cuts over the past 5 to 10 years, the libraries have not. And that's huge. That is enormous. And so what we do, and what he has told me to do from the moment that I got here, was you get to, while other budgets are being cut, the library, and he does this publicly, and he takes a lot of heat from it. Believe me, from other deans he has. I've been in the meetings where the other deans have said, and why not the library? And he says, because the library was so ill-used for so many years here, and it had such catching up had to be made, that he made a promise several years ago that the library's budget would not be cut. It hasn't been cut. It's my job to use resources and to constantly look at how our dollars are being spent and to assess whether they're being used in the right way, and if not, to change. So that's why every single position that comes open we look at, and why you're asked, many managers are asked, to justify the need for that position. And at the same time, managers, I want managers to be coming forward and saying, I need this. As a matter of fact, Valerie Maiman has done that recently and actually got something, which Isabel will be telling you about. So, you know, not to worry. I always make sure that the checks don't bounce.
Is there any distinction between academic and non-academic staff in terms of cuts or savings, or is that up to you? I'm just wondering from the university's perspective.
Well, you know that the overall within the university, as a result of law something or other, Bill 100, the administrative staff is being replaced, half of all of our M and, is it M's too? M's and staff positions, half of that money is clawed back.
That's what I meant. Is that only applicable to non-academic staff, or was it also applicable?
It's not applicable to academic staff.
That's what I wanted to.
But that's not McGill, that's the law. Okay, that's the bill.
I wasn't clear on that.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
Maybe because I can't see this at all.
You could roll up. The waves could part.
I was one of my colleagues, and I didn't think I'd start our relationship by running you over. So I'll ask. With regards to the law library and the life sciences library, just what's the role of the director of public services or AD public services, and what's your role?
One is dotted and the other one isn't. I mean, I don't want to be flip. What it means in the end is that I have to maintain a little bit closer relationship with those two libraries by virtue of the kinds of libraries that they are. And I have to be, it doesn't mean that Danielle and Susan or go into the principal's office and have to be watched a little more closely. I mean, it's not like that at all. It's more that that traditionally it was one of those anomalous things that I saw in this organization. It's atypical for research libraries to be for law and medicine not to be more closely tied to the chief librarian. It's that simple. It's that simple. And there's just so much going on in medicine right now. We've got some big things going on there, and I'm very fortunate to have Louis in the seat he's in to be able to carry that ball for us. It's a very tricky situation we're having to go through there. So, other questions? And someone needs to remind me to repeat questions for the people far and wide.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was
Okay, so this is the... Yes, yeah. Okay, so I think the question is clarification on whom Bill 100 applies to, in particular, whether it's provincial administration or whether it includes... staff such as library assistants. And I am going to punt that question. Louis got his hand up.
I can just add, the law says it's for administrative staff and support staff. It's for both.
Right.
And across the province. That's what it's all about.
Right. And so Louis has said it's defined as administrative support staff across the province, and Isabel is shaking her head, yes. So do you want to add anything else?
And contrary to Megan McGill's perception, at the province level, if we talk about administrative and support staff, this includes also management positions.
Okay. That's a good clarification. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Well, this is collection services, which I've already talked a lot about. So Louis remains a line supervisor and has... Valerie Fortin and that operation under him, as well as a group which will be dealing with a lot of financial services within collection services, and the document delivery program under Valerie. And if you see here, there's a documentation technician that's open there, and we have a couple of, I guess there's one more page of this, right?
There's one right there under Louis.
Under Louis, right. She read my mind. There's a manager position open here. And there's, on the next page, you'll see another manager position open. And again, one of the things that I hope to be able to do is to build a little bit more ability to have a progression, to have a career progression built into the organization for staff. And these are positions that are truly management positions, and they aren't positions that de facto need people with an MLIS. So we're creating a couple of extra management positions that will be doing management work, exactly what M's are supposed to do, that don't need to be librarians. Okay. So we have another one of those under here. This is Chris Oliver, and this is rare books cataloging and a lot of original cataloging within here. Louise Robertson is a coordinator for a lot of acquisitions and
receiving and processing.
And Megan, who's got that huge e-resources issue, right? Yes. Right, and the page before was serials. See, I can't explain this quite as well as Joseph, but half of you have heard this already, and if other people want at least once, and the other half of you, if you want to know more about it in detail, get with Joseph or Isabel. Okay? Other questions? Do I need to read more boxes? Okay.
That is on the U already.
Yes, this is on the U drive already. Okay. All right. So I'm now going to turn this over to Isabel.
So good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this September edition of Dean's Corner. So we'll start by finding my slide. And start by welcoming our new colleagues to the library family. So please welcome, join me in welcoming archives with us. So among ourselves, we have Teresa Rowett, the director of archives, and she brought with her her staff. So we have Gordon Burr. Gordon, if you could stand up, thank you. We have Bruce Dolphin. Welcome, Bruce. Lori Nordland is with us also. Welcome, Lori. David Polyak. Hi. Jean-Marc Tremblay. Welcome, Jean-Marc. And finally, Mary Ellen Worgen-Hood. Welcome to the libraries. It's a pleasure to have you with us. In addition to archives, in the month of August and September, we welcome Martin Morris in the Life Science Library. Martin, are you with us? Welcome, Martin. And on September 4th, Sarah and Lori were coming back to us after a busy year working on different professional projects. So Sarah, Lori, welcome back. I'm not sure this year will be quiet. And we have a lot of projects ahead. With welcomes, there's also farewell. In the month of August, some of our colleagues left on retirement. Most of them were in collection services and in life science. So Rosemary from collection services, Ingrid was in life science with Sandra, Andre Taylor, and Ezra. And in collection services, in addition to Rosemary, we had Mary Fukasawa and Nola who left. Juliet Prashad, who was a library supervisor in USO, also retired on August 31st. So I've seen them. They're smiling from year to year and really enjoying this new phase of their life. At the same time, our Megan, who was working in education while Sarah was away and has now moved back to USO, has informed us that she will be leaving us to pursue a different career, not a different career, but a different life down under. Megan, you'll be missed, and hopefully you'll be keeping in touch.
Can I add something?
Yes.
Just quickly, I forgot about one new liaison
August.
Nikki, we had... Yes.
I just want to...
She was in the previous dean corners, that's why. But yes, Nikki came on board in July, I think. You were drinking wine. That's why. There was some more internal movement. So Dina Janewski is now part of the Ussel family. And following the closing of GIC, which Diane will give us more detail in a bit, we, Life Science, also welcome Jackie Brizzle and Tim Gouger as liaison library assistant following the recent departure on retirement. Now, Dean Cook was talking about changes that will be coming up with the new structure that we're implementing. We're still working on current searches. The assistant ed for rare books and special collection, we have finished doing the interviews and the job talk, and we're moving ahead now. We're close to the final step in that recruitment file. We will be starting the interviews for the liaison librarian for Osler in the week of September 17. So we have 4 dates already planned, September 17, 18, 19, and 20th. So keep your agenda open for the job talks. Still looking for someone for digital initiative. And now we're adding client services. We'll actively start the search involving headhunter for those 2 positions. With the transfer or promotion of Louis to a position of director in collection services, we'll be looking for a branch head in Schulich. Same thing with the promotion of Carol Urbain to the position of director academic affairs. We'll be looking for a branch head in humanities and social science library. Carol was also sharing that role with AD of client services for humanities and social science. We'll be looking for a liaison librarian in USO in replacement of Megan. And finally, in collection services, Dean Cook mentioned 2 managers' position that we will be looking for. There's also Life Science that desperately need a library supervisor, and also USO in replacement of Juliet and Sandra. With all those postings, we'll need help from an HR professional. In there will be also an administrative assistant position. And in collection services, we'll be looking for an additional documentation technician and also a specialized catalog editor in the group of Megan, if my memory serves.
Yeah.
One is ILL, sorry, yes. And one is with e-book cataloging. So those will be the upcoming search.
There's a question from Tim Gouger.
Yes.
Please explain the procedure in library human resources for relocating library assistants. Specifically, what is the procedure when there is an opening at one of the libraries, but there is no volunteer to apply for it? What is the role of McGill Central Human Resources in the procedure of relocating library assistants? Thank you.
Okay. So for the first part, this summer, there's a provision. Let me start with the beginning. There's a provision in the collective agreement of the MUNACA that stipulates that a unit can assign an employee within the department in any newly created or vacant position. So in order to help moving forward to that new organizational charts and changes that we wanted to implement, we decided to go ahead with that provision in the collective agreement. So we met with the union to inform them of what we were going to do. They made a few suggestions because the primary objective was also to keep in mind to make that process as humane and voluntary as possible. So we decided that when we were going to have openings within the MUNACA bargaining unit, we would go through an internal assignment process where we would ask for volunteers, employees who are interested of changing assignment within the libraries. So we did that with those two life science positions that were vacant this summer. We had one volunteer, his name was Tim Gouger, but we were looking for two. After discussing with the union, we were trying again to find a way or a method that was as humanely and respectful of the collective agreement, but also respectful of the employee and be as disruptive as possible. We decided to go where there's no volunteers by reverse order of seniority. In this case, it was felt also with changes, organizational changes, changes in working hours that we had in some libraries, situation where the number of staff was sufficient, where in other situation it was maybe more strained, I guess, what I'm trying to say. So this is the process that we decided to put in place this summer to replace those two LAs. It doesn't mean that this also will be the process that we'll do all the time, but this is something that we'll probably see more and more. Now, for the second part, what is the role of central HR? I'm not too sure. Central HR is composed of multiple units. Since 1304 talks about department, I mean, central HR is not really involved if there's an HR person within the unit. So I don't know if that answered that second part, or maybe if we could identify which section of central HR Tim is referring to. Yes.
When the various positions are ready to be posted, will they be sent out to everyone in the usual way? Will they be distributed internally by email?
The usual way, yes. Depending on the group also, there's some restriction vis-a-vis the collective agreement that we have to respect. Same thing for the administrative policy for imposition, but we'll follow the formal process. Well, that's it for me, if there's not any more questions. Madame Cohen?
No.
Spelling is not my forte.
Just a moment. Great. Well, good afternoon. What time is it now? So I know how we're tracking. Excellent. So we're progressing well. And if I just go like this, we're cooking. Good. Well, I wanted to address a couple of issues. First, to bring you up to date on the migration of the Walter Hitchfeld Geographic Information Center from a formal branch library to become the responsibility of the Department of Geography, Faculty of Science. Representatives from the library and the Department of Geography, including the chair, Professor Tim Moore, met over the last 9 to 12 months really to map out the most effective use of the Walter Hitchfeld Geographic Information Center. The issues a number of us worked through included hours of operation, how to keep the traditional print and map collection safe yet accessible, how to best effectively staff this branch in order to provide the advanced geospatial and remote sensing support that is really of growing importance to that department and faculty, in addition to how do we continue to provide the traditional liaison support that we've always done. It was agreed between the two parties over the summer that the Department of Geography would take over the staffing and management responsibility of the center, and really to convert the focus of the GIC to address the new mission which they have defined, which is to actively support the teaching, learning, and research activities at McGill University in the areas of geographic information systems, GIS, and remote sensing. Before I go any further, I want to extend a huge thank you to Dina Yanofsky, who has been managing that branch and providing, I don't know, Dina, are you in the room or are you remote? She might be remote. In managing the branch through this transition period, in many cases almost solo, and for outstanding work in preparing the branch for this big move. There are many others involved, and I'll talk about them too, but I really wanted to mention Dina and her really wonderful help. She's now over in Hustle and supporting various areas in Hustle. So the new center will be run by the department, as I mentioned, and Dr. Pablo Arroyo Mora is the academic director. He is supported by several support staff, research assistants, students, a technician, and they're listed here. Let me just make sure I go. I'm going to make sure I hit the right button here. The GIS service will be provided by this team, with extended hours, as our students have been used to. The website, you can go on and take a look at the support hours. They're very similar to what we were providing before. The study zones remain, the group study room remains bookable through our catalog, and our liaison librarians, Julie Jones, who's here, and Jennifer Zhao. Julie is responsible for human geography, and Jennifer for physical geography, will hold office hours in the center daily, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3, and of course will be accessible to provide all the other types of liaison support that our users require in those subject areas. Data support is being handled out of Schulich, and Nikki Tooman, who we've introduced twice, but I'll mention again, will be the contact for data in the traditional way we've been providing that support. Now, the collection. So what do we do with the materials? It's complicated. We're working through it. It's an ongoing process. And the maps and air photo collection will be moving over to Hustle. This is a huge job. It's going to take weeks. Bear with us. But the truly rare material is moving into Rare Books and Special Collections. Richard Verb went over, and of course, his eyes lit up with glee, and it made us realize that this collection was very exposed in that space with over the years. So we are moving the rare into rare. The Canadian, Quebec, and Montreal maps, and this is a very broad definition, it will get clearer over time, is moving to Hustle, to the second floor, into the former staff area of government documents. So we'll be cleaning that area up and helping the, we have several staff in that area who will be moving to a new area on the same floor, and we'll move the maps in there. Adjust the records such as they are to reflect where they are now housed. The international maps, which are not considered of such great significance, will stay on the floor. Will be accessible from the fifth floor GIC. The print collection, for the most part, is moving to Schulich. There will be some, and I know Julie's working on this, of human geography will move over to Hustle. So as I say, there's work to be done. Some reference material and maps will stay on the floor to assist students working on the floor. So it remains a very vibrant space for students to study. It's a very important teaching space, and the service for GIS and remote sensing will be handled by the Department of Geography staff. Good. So, construction. Any questions on that? I'm sure there's many. Yes.
Just something quickly about the regular circulating print GIS collection is now in Shuli.
Just a sec. Could you repeat that?
The regular collection of GIS is now in Shuli. And right now, it's already turned on. If people are searching in the catalog, it says Shuli right away, right now. They're being in the shelf right now as we speak.
Great. Regular circulating collection is in Schulich and identifiable in the catalog.
Right now, this says Schulich right away.
Fantastic. Great. Thanks. Another question? Julie. I'll repeat. Yeah, great point. Great. Julie was just commenting that the support provided by the staff in the new GIC is not just to support geography, but all of McGill and beyond.
Just quickly, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Is that, am I loud enough?
No, because they can't hear.
All right. No, we're talking about. All right. So, so I don't have the voice that I had before I left vacation, eh? Soon there will be a memo about that effect to be sent out to all the library throughout campus, and there will be slides, which I just sent out to Edward today, which will be going into all of the library LCD screens to talk about that new services and for whom. So people will be aware of whom, where to go about GIS and remote sensing software, technical issues, everything.
Great. And our website will be interwoven with their website, so whichever way you go, you'll get information. Oh, question from afar.
No, just in case.
Okay, good. All right. And if you have any other questions that you think of later, don't hesitate to reach out to any of us. All right. I'm going to briefly update you on there's a number of activities that have been going on, most of them in Hustle. And a couple in remote branches from Hustle, and I'll give you a quick update on the terrace. But the Humanities and Social Sciences Library has really been undergoing a number of renovation and refurbishment projects over the summer. Some are complete, some are underway and almost done, and others are ongoing. And I really do want to thank all the staff involved in these projects. There's many, and it's impacted many. Moving is always challenging, and many of you in the audience and beyond have undergone a change in your workplace. Our Hustle Loan staff are now in their new staff area behind the service point and are serving our students and faculty from the Humanities and Social Sciences service point. Now, if this goes well, I might even be able to get some pictures. Right, the service point. Good, good. The self-serve reserve room and the DVD room is operational, and our students are managing with the guidance and support of the Hustle staff. I really want to thank the Hustle staff for making this move. From the outside looking in, appears to be going well, and thank you to you all. It's really been wonderful. Just wanted to mention that the new doorway, which will be, the new doorway, which will be here, which will connect the service point with the production area in the back and the staff area in the back, should be finished within the next week or two. We're waiting on the glass and flooring people. So bear with us there. The self-serve reserve room is operational. yours truly, and really the response from students has been wonderful, and thank you for all your support in making this transition as smooth as it is. Our HOSL librarians will hold consultations with students or faculty in their dedicated consultation zone. It's in the former iCare room. There's the DVD self-serve, compact shelving. Oh, I'm going backwards. Here we go. Good. And so we're just working on getting this looking prettier, but our HOSL librarians will hold consultations with students or faculties in here. It's a dedicated room. It's lockable. Consultations will be triaged to this room, and of course liaison librarians can book time with students and faculty in this space. Now, huge project going on the third floor. Sorry, I keep going backwards, but here we go. I love this shot. Sabrina just took it this morning, and it's showing you on the third floor where we're installing electronic compact shelving. 100,000 volumes will be stored in these shelves. There's about, 2,500 shelves that are going in. The group you're looking at are the architect that's helping us with the work, the contractor, the shelving guy, the painter, and a lot is going on up there. And just to let you know, it is our goal, if all goes well, that that floor will be available for student seating on October 19th. It's a conservative number, but conservative numbers can become aggressive numbers, so let's just hope that all goes well. But it is our goal to get that space, the 300-odd seats available to our students by October 19th. I do want to send out a big thank you to the HOSL staff that have been handling the movement of the collection and the insertion of the management collection into this space. Mammoth job. Eamon Duffy, Peter Martinek, our HOSL shelvers, just fantastic work in integrating the management collection from the fourth floor to the third floor. Good. The collection has always been accessible. It continues to be accessible. It's the seating that will be ready by October 19th. Good. You can see a picture of what's going on the fourth floor. If you can just sort of picture in your mind's eye the rare books and special collections floor as you walk off the elevator. There was open shelving there. There still is open shelving there, but we're turning that entire open shelving area into high-density compact shelving for rare materials, which will allow us to bring materials from the McLennan closed storage and what I commonly refer to as the floodplain of the Redpath basement, and we'll get our valuable materials up into an environmentally controlled and safe area. So you can see we've started putting the false floor down already in the fourth floor. Great. Now, very difficult to see this picture, but I wanted to mention to you that the former loans area on the main hallway of Redpath is being transformed into a 90-seat group study zone with several bookable group study rooms. And this is going to be a really interesting experiment. We're calling it a furniture lab, if you will. We've been working closely with the McLennan Redpath Space Planning Group on this space and on other improvements to the building. But our goal with this zone, until we redo the entire floor of McLennan Redpath under the direction of EKM Architects, this is going to be a laboratory to experiment with furniture, to see what our students like, different types of furniture, comfy, tables, movable, lots of whiteboards, and this is just an outline of the kind of variety of seating we will provide. So if you think of this as the hallway, and this is the hallway down to the e-classroom, we have tables that will move, we have different types of chairs and lounges. These are chairs. We have group study tables that will be configured with monitors, groups seating for two that they can collaborate around a single PC and so on. And then down here, kind of a funky group study seating with a range of chairs. So the whole idea is to get data from our users, feedback, what do they like, what do they don't, what do they not like, what works, and that will all be fed back into the design of the main floor. Good. Now, we're not at closing remarks, but I'll leave this just for the moment because I love the picture. Two quick comments. The education library has seen a lot of activity, and I want to thank Maya and her team for really doing wonderful work. Well, the all of the collection was moved onto compact shelving, the circulating collection. That's in place. We're getting the seating in place, and additional seating space for 28 students has been created in a quiet zone, and we'll be working on a group study zone once further material is migrated. Schulich roofing project continues, and Louis informs me it's on track still for December. And finally, the terrace project at the McLennan Redpath complex continues. Many a snag has been encountered. However, the construction team and the architectural firm are addressing problems as they occur. It's expected to be completed in November 2012. And I'm not saying the 1st or the 30th, but November. So we will continue to use the Redpath entrance exclusively. And I do want to let everyone know that we have negotiated with security that we will always have a security guard at the Redpath exit by the gates, so that our collections, whether they're in the Redpath building or a student walks from McLennan through to the Redpath exit, if the gate goes off, someone hears and addresses it and checks their receipt or sends them back. So we have 24-hour guard at that gate, and I really hope that you're able to get that message out to any student or faculty that's concerned. It's a legitimate concern, and we've addressed it starting September 4th. So, any questions on those projects? Great. I'll turn it back to Colleen. Sorry. There.
Thank you. This is probably the longest Dean's Corner that we've had. I will bring it to a close. I'll invite any other questions that anyone may have from near or far. Stephen?
Are we known as your library and archives, or what?
What a good question. I don't know. I'll ask my boss. Remind me to ask the provost, who will also probably say, "Gee, what a good question." But we are definitely singular in terms of the library. That's for sure. And I don't know about archives, but again, welcome. Any other questions, Bruna, from anybody? Okay. Any questions here? Thank you all very much for trekking up the hill. And, you know, every time we do this, we know what some of our colleagues have to do every single day. So thank you very much.